Says Reuben Levy, we're learning together with Hashem's kindness. Book Begana Shalom. We're in chapter 7, we're at the end of chapter 7, the last section now. We're learning about tefillah, the importance of tefillah in Shalom Bayit. Why? Well, we need to know, we know that we need to pray on everything anyway. And in this chapter we learned a lot of good reasons why a person needs to pray for their Shalom Bayit. It's above nature, and you've got a big Yitzhahara, and different things that require prayer, otherwise you can't fix them anyway. But here at the end, he's giving a different example. He's saying that a person has judgments on him from the heavenly courts for transgressions that he hasn't fixed. And without prayer, specifically here, means without teshuvah, without his body doing teshuvah, a person can't fix those judgments, and the judgments are going to be played out through his wife, and therefore you can't have Shalom Bayit if you haven't made Shuva, because those judgments are going to be on your head and then come through your home. Because all of the claims against the person that exist, all the judgments, one after another, and all of the problems that arise and the suffering that arises as a result of them, call Elu Hen Raksibot, they're only reasons. Ashoresh and the root, the Kolabayot, for all the problems, Shiyesh Lahem, who Pashut Shiyesh Alehem Dinim. The simple reason is that the person has Dinim on his head. That's why he's suffering. And these judgments, they come out in whichever way they're clothed. One time, it's because the husband didn't smile at the right time. Or his wife thought that he made a certain movement. We don't need to explain a lot. Lamisha Nasui, to someone who's married. How easy it is to start a big fire from a very small spark. Something small that can turn into very big. And really, it's not logical, because what I did does not warrant, does not deserve, it's not logical that my wife would get so upset simply because I forgot to make a cup of tea, or I simply because I forgot to leave, put my plate off the table. Well, it's something small. Suddenly, she's exploded and no Shalom Bayit, and she's upset at me. The truth is, it had nothing to do with what I did. Hashem was using that as a trigger in order to give me the suffering that I have to have because of the dinim on my head. I have dinim, and I haven't removed them because I haven't done tshuva, so those transgressions are still hanging over me. And therefore, they need to come out. I need to suffer as a result of those transgressions. So I didn't do tshuva. So they're going to come through my home. So whilst I may be puzzled and say, my wife's crazy, she went bananas because I left my socks on the floor. That's just like, that's a crazy woman. And I start blaming my wife. It's got nothing to do with my wife. Hashem needed to make me suffer. He's going to choose whatever he wants to choose. It has nothing to do with the reality. If I don't see Hashem, and I just see with the nature, I think my wife's crazy. Why is she getting so upset about nothing? Right? And it's true. According to natural laws, there's no reason to get upset about something so small. But it's not her getting upset. Hashem is making her upset. I have to know that Hashem is making her upset. For good reason. I just need to work out what it is and what I need to do about it. What's Hashem trying to tell me here? Why is this happening? What teshuva do I need to make? Therefore, we need to know this rule. In order for a person to have Shalom Bayit, he needs to sweeten the judgments all day long, every day. Zev Shah Rak Ayde Shai Badadut. He can only do this through an Arabic Badadut. without the daily schedule of teshuva, there is going to be dinim that I haven't cleared up. Has to be. I'm making transgressions all the time, whether I realize or not. And they exist, and they hang over me, and they need to be dealt with. I can either make teshuva, and they'll disappear nicely, or if I don't make teshuva, they will be fulfilled by some suffering. Va'al yomer adam, and a man should not say, oili, woe is to me, im bishvil lachayot b'shalom, im ishti, ani tzarech liyot sadik gamor. Right? A husband can say, to live with this woman is impossible. You need to be a sadik gamor, a complete sadik, to live with a woman like this, who's so sensitive, who picks me up on every little thing I do, who gets so upset when I just left a dirty cup in the sink without washing it, and then what do you want from me? But he's looking at the completely wrong thing. It has nothing to do with his wife, it has nothing to do with the fact that she's sensitive. It doesn't matter who she is, she can be Sadeket Gemurah, she can be one of the holy Imaot, Sarah, Recha, Rivka, Leah. If Hashem puts it into her head to get crazy at me, she's going to get crazy at me, doesn't matter who she is. It's not her fault. She can't do anything about it. She's a shaliach from Hashem. She can't choose. She has no free choice, so to speak, not to get angry at me. Hashem controls her Yetzer Hara, and he puts into Yetzer Hara, you're going to be angry now, so she's going to be angry.
I can give you an example.
Yeah.
A family I knew in Emmanuel 20-odd years ago. It was a misunderstanding of what the husband said. They set the wife off for over an hour of screaming.
Right.
He asked, it was Shabbat evening, the end of the Shabbat evening's Suda. He asked her if there's cake. In Hebrew, it was in Hebrew. And she's like screaming, how can you do all the effort I did? And then screaming, how can you do for me? Do this to me, sing. And she's screaming at God. And trying to defend himself. And find it. What are you angry me about for? All he asked was if you made them pay. Pay? I thought you asked if I'm crazy. He said, I am Yesh Uga. And she heard, I'm Yesh Uga.
Right. But even so, even if she did get bizarre, crazy as a result of that, or whether he said cake or say crazy. It's not a good example, because that's based on the fact she misunderstood. So now I understand why she got so upset. It's because she misunderstood. But it's nothing to do with that.
Why did Hashem make her misunderstand?
The reason she got upset is because Hashem made her, not because she heard something that was justifiable. If you heard that, it made her crazy. So
why did she get wrong? Well, Hashem said that she'd be wrong. That's also Hashem can control what you hear, what you understand.
All right. Okay. Ma'ya lai ad she'ezke lechazor b'teshuvah shleima. A person can say to himself, what am I going to do until I... First of all, he can say it one way, and say, to live with this woman, you need to be a complete tzaddik. She's crazy. Or he can say it on himself. He can say, what am I going to do? How am I ever going to have shalom bayit if, until I've made complete teshuvah, I'm never going to be able to get everything right? So I can blame myself for not yet being in a position where I can actually make my wife happy. I'm messing up all the time, I'm saying stupid things all the time, I'm being selfish all the time, etc., etc. But the truth is, it's not him. It is him, but not for that reason. The only reason he's not able to satisfy his wife, the only reason he's not got shalom bayit, is not because he's not a tzaddik, it's because he hasn't made teshuva on all those dinim that are hanging over his head.
But you have to make sure. Why you get all more? Put the time more.
Yeah, but if a person does shuva, if a person does shuva every day,
you get more. Or you can cut more.
Because that's not how it works. Hashem is not trying to fool anyone. Hashem is not trying to. If I go to the field and try and make shuva, Hashem is not laughing at me that I can't make shuva. Hashem is not stopping me. Hashem wants me to make teshuva. If I want to make teshuva and I want to know what the problem is, Hashem's going to let me make teshuva and he's going to give me shalom bayit. He's not interested in making me suffer, Stan. I know you want to do teshuva, I'm not letting you. Hashem wants me to make teshuva. The whole purpose. If it's still not fixed, my shalom bayit's not fixed, he wants more work from me. He wants me to do work harder. I'm not working enough.
Let me tell you, example, you have shalom bayit problem.
Okay.
Now you, most time it's so, when you have shalom bayit problem, and you see how there is, you make problems there too. Understand? Because your mind is not free. Let's say you have shalom bayit problem.
Yeah.
Now maybe you have problem in the job, in this, everything coming together.
Right.
So there come a lot of problems involved.
But what's the root?
Yeah, of course. But
I solve that, then everything else is going to be fine. If my wife's happy, everything else in my life is working. My Rabbi says that the way to test the person is in the home. He can be successful outside the home. He can be great, he can be wonderful, but at home, if he hasn't got shalom bayit, that's his main test.
When
it's a proof.
When you have shalom bayit, but outside problem,
it's unusual.
Why?
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, it's unusual. The person who has really shalom bayit, that's the main thing. Outside, if you have shalom bayit, mostly everything else is going actually pretty well. Because that's the source of all his bracha. If he has a shalom bayit, it means he has the Shekhinah dwelling in his house. He has lots of, he has bracha and everything as a result of that. If he has shalom bayit. Okay. Ein hadvarim kach, but things are not like this. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba betrunia im briyota. Hashem does not ba betrunia. It doesn't come with claims against his creations. He doesn't attack us. Doesn't make claims against us. He comes as he's our loving Father. He wants to help us. Doesn't put us in a position that we can't deal with. Ela kol adam lefi madregato. Rather, every person according to his level. Shemishtadel la'asot v'chol yom shai bodedut. That tries to do every day an Arabic bodedut. Shel teshuva teshuva. Zem amtik mimenu et adinim. This sweetens from him the judgment. V'yeh lo shalom bayit. And I'll have shalom bayit. Of course he's got to be doing the other stuff. Right? This comes after, the chapter after. After I'm doing no criticism. After I'm doing putting my wife first. So if I'm doing all that and I still don't have shalom bayit, then it's for this reason. If I'm not treating my wife nicely, then it doesn't matter how much I'm praying and doing teshuva. I'm still messing up my home, so I'm obviously breaking my home. But for a person who's doing that, then this is the way to fix this, the shalom bayit. Because when Hashem sees that a man is standing before him, Sha'a b'chol yom, an hour every day, and he wants to, from his side, he wants to do tshuva, I'll call prat and prat, on every detail and every detail. Then even if he doesn't merit to do this completely, rather, he ends up doing a little bit of tshuva, according to his strength. Hashem is not angry with him. Hashem has no complaints, no claims against him. Hadrabah, on the contrary, he's very happy with him and he helps him. Person who comes to do, I don't know about you, but when I come and try and do tshuva in my ibadat, for sure, I don't manage to get even a little bit of all the things I've done wrong in that day. But Tom, I do whatever I can. Whatever Hashem puts into my head that he reminds me, he's the one who's inside my head. He's the one giving me the ideas. If he reminds me of this and this and this, so I do teshuva on this and this and this, and all the other things that he didn't remind me about, or I didn't have... That's Hashem. As long as I have a good will and a good intention, trying to do your will, Hashem. He's gonna, he wants to come and help us. Right? The Gemara says, the Hashem says, open for me the eye of a needle. Small point. And I'll open for you the size of a hole. We need a small awakening from below to get a large awakening from above. Chapter 8. Haderech Labayit Hamushar. The way to a happy home. Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim Zatzal, the Ben Ish Chai, Masaper Ketzad Bachar Kadosh Baruch Hu et Makom Beit HaMikdash, explains how Hashem decided, how he chose the place that the Beit HaMikdash was going to stand. U'maseh Shayah Yakach. And he told the following story. This is a story about how Hashem chose the Beit HaMikdash, the place. If you haven't heard this, it's a very nice story. If you have heard it, then it's also good to hear it again. So what's the story? Tell it to your kids. They like it. Pamayu Shnei Achim. There was once two brothers. Shadaru Ba'otah Kafar. They lived in the same village. Vayita B'neihem Ahava G'dolah Ma'od Ma'od. And they loved each other very, very much. Eilu Ha'achim. These brothers. L'kol Echad Mehem Harish Avihem Sadeh. Each one inherited from his father a field, Shemimenu Tiyah Panasah, that from it would be his Panasah. Achad Mehem Etzlicha Sadehu Ma'od. One of them, the field was very successful. Vaya Ashir Gadol, and he was very rich. Aval Tzara, but to his sadness, Haya Chashuch Banim, he didn't have children. Vasheni, and the second one, Lo Asta Sadehu Tavua Taraba, he didn't get much produce from his field. Vayani Marur, and he was very poor. Aval Mitzad Shini, but on the other side, he was blessed with very many children. Lailachad, one night, itore ha'ani mishnato, the poor one woke up from his sleep. Hechal choshev ba'ava l'achiv chashoch habani. And he began to think with great love about his brother that didn't have children. Kama kashelo, how difficult it was for him, his situation, shelo, etc. Amar la'atzmo, he said to himself, Ani am namani, even though I'm poor. Avam Baruch Hashem yishli yiladim shesamechim oti. I have children that make me happy. Ve'ilu achi hamisken, and my brother, unfortunately, echa ve'ein lo yiladim, since he doesn't have children, shesamechu et libo, to make his heart happy. Ma yismach oto, what's going to make him happy? Chashav v'chashav, he thought and he thought. Lo sof matzah itza, and even then he found an advice. I'm going to give him from my field every night some of my produce. Ulai tosefet habracha, maybe the increased bracha, the osher and the wealth, yinachamu oto, will make him feel better. Therefore, every night the poor person will get up from his bed, and he will take from his field to his brother's field, half of the produce that he'd gathered that day. But the same night, mamash, the exact same night, that the poor man woke and thought about this good piece of advice. Also, the rich brother woke up on that same night from his sleep in machshavadome with a similar thoughts. Amali boy said to himself, Ani kaze ashir, I am so wealthy. Ve'eli iladim lidog lahem, and I don't have children to worry about. Ve'achi ani, and my brother is poor. Ve'zakuk kesef kokach, and he needs a lot of money. Osif lo b'chol laila, tabuwa misadi, I'm going to give him from my field. Produce every day, every night. Ve'achal afhu, and he also began to bring every evening, every night, half of his produce to his brother's field. And so it continued this thing for many days. When each of the brothers bringing from one to the other the produce, Miblisha Achad Yodea Nasheni, without either one realizing that the other one was doing what the other one was doing. And they couldn't understand every morning that when they came to their fields that their produce hadn't gone down at all. One night, the poor person decided to stay awake all night in his field. And maybe he'll discover what's going on there. How come every night he takes his produce to his friends, to his brother's field, and then when he comes back in the morning, he sees that he has the same amount of produce that he had when he started? And so too the rich man decided to do the same thing that very night. And in the middle of the night, the two brothers met one another in the field, and they understood what happened. And the brothers fell on each other's neck, and they cried a lot, shall hit Rakshut, of emotion. When Hashem saw this wonderful thing, he decided that in that place, where such love rested, there he will rest his divine presence. And that is the place that will be built, the Beit HaMikdash. The same time that this was happening between the two brothers, there was an opposite story happening in a different place. In this second place, there was also two brothers. Usually hear the first story, you don't hear the second story. But we've got the second story now. In the other place was also two brothers. One was rich but didn't have sons. And the other one was poor but he had lots of sons. Same story. The only difference was here, between the two brothers was a lot of hatred. So the poor one woke up in the middle of the night and said to himself, why does my brother need so much wealth? He hasn't got any children to look after. I have. So he went and he stole from his brother. And the second one woke up from his sleep and thought to himself, it's not enough for my brother that he's got lots of children and he still wants money, so he went and stole also from his field. So too the thing happened for many days, until the one evening the poor person decided to stay awake to see if he could catch the thief that is stealing from his field. And the rich person also said, I'm going to get wake up and see who's stealing from my field. And they both got up in the night. They met the two brothers in the middle of the night, and they understood what happened. And they fell on each other, not in tears, but in anger and hatred. And they started fighting with each other, hitting each other, cursing each other, disgracing each other. Hashem saw this evil thing and decided to take his Shekhinah away from that place. And over there was built a big place of idol, Avodah Zarah, and causing hatred and separation and machloket in the world.
Blessed
building? Could be. Therefore, we should, what should we learn from this story? Why is it brought here? It's a very nice story, but what's it got to do with Shalom Bayit? They're about two brothers. So he says as follows. Every person should learn that as much as he loves his wife will love him. And if so, then Hashem will place his Shekhinah between them and will choose their home to be a place of bracha and kedusha. Mamash kamar Beit HaMikdash. Right, that's why it's called the Beit HaMikdash Prati, the small Beit HaMikdash. But if there is machloket between them and hatred, Hashem removes his Shekhinah from them. And it's not very nice. The decision is in the hands of every person. What's it dependent on? Ahavat, love. Kasher b'nei azug zochim sheyesh b'nei ahava amitit. When a couple merit there is between them true love. Ahavat shenetina, love based on giving. U'machshava shel hasheni, on having thought for the other one. B'li shum tzpiat gamol mitoch hakarava, without any thought of what I'm going to receive from the other person. Like the brothers who loved each other. Azai Beitam Yeh Beit HaMikdash. Then their home can be like a Beit HaMikdash. And the Shekhinah can rest in it. And they will have much success in this world and the next. Okay. Can you answer?